to Raven A Podcast. The Podcast for for nerdappropriate.com. Perfect timing.
This is episode 22.
It's a little laggy, it seems like. You go ahead and pause that so that we're not running multiple streams in and out of that.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I just wanted to see what I was
like. So, yeah, we're here.
The theme of today's show is professionalism.
It's professionalism.
Indeed. Well, that was your sponsor. That was a sponsor.
Our sponsor was professionalism.
Ash is now delegated to sound effects, and he just dropped a sponsor.
Kellogg's. Kellogg's, our sponsor. We'd like to thank Kellogg's for sponsoring the show. What if we do that? What if we just start giving ourselves sponsors?
Just start thanking and then seeing if they follow through.
Like, thank you to Michelob for sponsoring the episode today. You know, we're really happy to have them on board.
I also like your beer for
you know,
women.
Ryan's a fan of, his, of your women beer, and I like your, I just golfed around beer. Yeah. Make light.
This is,
I just won.
It's LaCroix.
So,
we took a week off. We regrouped. We picked up this guy this week somehow.
Just in the neighborhood.
Which, if anybody doesn't remember from the shows they didn't watch or hear yet. Oh, one of them is out. Ryan took over for when Scott was getting married many moons ago. It's been what, 4 years already?
I'm married.
Yeah. So
I read online that episode just spiked.
I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy spike in episodes.
Millions.
You were really happy for me to come here and not have Scott, if I recall. Worked out well for you.
Super happy. I had a great time all three times that you were on, which is why we had you back and forth. So it's technically a fifth. I think you're officially, you're in now.
No, isn't this the fourth? Because I did two.
You did three.
I did,
man.
One, and then I did two while he was gone. So that three
and
plus
you did one
is
in Christmas.
Four.
So yeah, what did we played some more Resident Evil last week while we didn't podcast?
I think I'm starting to like it better, and I'm starting to understand the genre of deck building games in general, because I went to Board Game Geek and read a lot of reviews of similar games like
Dominion
and Thunderstone, and also read. Or I watched some of the reviews like on YouTube from the Dice Tower, who does like a lot of really good board game reviews. And I think Resident Evil is kind of on par with those other games, even though we kind of find it a little cumbersome.
I don't think it's cumbersome. It's just not this. I don't think it's exactly the same kind of deck building game as those others.
I think Ascension is the outlier, though, in this.
I don't. Ascension, everybody says, is really close to Dominion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because like Dominion and Thunderstone all have tons of piles of stuff that you need to like manage on the table, and like in Thunderstone, you are waiting for just one card to come out, like the same way that you're waiting for the boss to come up for Resident Evil.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe
I'd like to try Thunderstone. I think that might be.
I feel like next time we play Resident Evil, we need some music.
Okay.
Some atmosphere.
Kind of like some zombie music to go along with
like
it.
Like when we play D&D.
Was this a Resident Evil card game?
Yeah, it's a deck building game.
Yeah, we always, when we play DD in our house, we always,
I remember you picked a channel once called,
Viking Metal,
and that was amazing.
Viking Metal was a good fit to the D&D, D&D experience. But yeah.
So are you guys doing well?
Yeah, sure.
Wondrous. No, I enjoyed the Resident Evil card game last week. I thought it was fun. I'm excited about the expansion pack.
Yeah. I'm really getting into it. And actually, to support this habit of deck building games with many piles of cards, I actually went online and bought a plastic, what is called a card sorter. But it's like something, it's like a pretty much a series of slots that you would use to organize. Like if you had baseball cards and you want to sort them into like by last name or something or by team.
Cool.
But it basically just is a like a piece of plastic that has like slots for like 20 card like decks.
That's cool.
And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. Now we can play these games and not push the shit all over the table.
Yeah. You still haven't played Small World, as jokey as it is that Ryan's here and we're talking about that, but you haven't played Small World yet.
I have not played Small
Legitimately World. Thought you were talking about a ride at Disneyland.
Did he ever tell you that? You had him convinced that I was going to talk about a ride at Disneyland?
I really thought they were talking about reopening the ride at Disneyland.
Really? That's amazing. I didn't know it closed down.
Speaking of rides at Disney World, we are now approximately 1 month away from the reopening of Star Tours.
Yeah,
that was a high five.
I was pretty into all the stuff that I saw, the stuff that they leaked. They have a Facebook page, and you can just, if you go onto Facebook and you type in Star Tours, they have an official Star Tours page up that you can become a fan of with some promotional art and some trailers and stuff like that.
I like that there's 56 different, I believe it was, 56 different variations of the ride that you hit one of randomly when
really?
You go on it. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's I might be wrong with the number by one or two, but like
wow.
It's something ridiculous. It's definitely over 40, what they said in the press release, of
wow.
different variations of the ride that you can hit.
That's
I don't know if that might mean
like
different characters on the ride
yeah.
with you
who
or...
Who knows, but either way, it's still pretty...
That's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
I don't.
Seems a little shady.
I don't recall. It's pretty new, so it probably doesn't have that many followers yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the thing that I thought was cool about it is the promotional video that we put up on the site is very, very hokey, and it looks like it's. I mean, it's supposed to be hokey. Like, go see. It was like, go see Alderaan. Voted safest planet in the galaxy, and they have all these like little like wink, wink, nod things
that's
for
awesome.
Fans, which is pretty cool. It's going to be all in 3D, sort of like Spider-Man ride, I guess.
Cool.
If it's in 3D, I'm not doing it.
Damn 3D.
Well, that's because you have a glass eye.
Why was that so jolly to you?
I don't know.
Edit that out.
Because it was so such a non sequitur.
I hope that I don't know. Are they redoing the outside? Because I really liked. When isn't the ride you go through? You're on like
Endor
outside,
yeah.
and then you're in like the factory when you go inside.
The
I
old,
love
the old
the
ride.
Aesthetic of the old ride.
Yeah,
yeah. Are they redoing the outside too, or just the ride?
They're doing
part?
The outside as well.
It's
yeah.
unfortunate that that Hollywood Studios is more or less like a non-drinking park because I always thought it'd be awesome if they just built the cantina and it just was like, oh, you can go and eat and drink at the cantina.
I still think that. No, you can.
I mean,
they
like,
just don't. There's just not allowed to.
It's not like the drinking.
But
so
have
like,
an actual cantina,
right?
To serve blue milk.
Like
yeah.
if you go to like the Harry Potter world in Universal, and they've got the not just the butterbeer, they have the whole bar. It's like
yeah.
a bar and restaurant, but it's what's it called? Three broomsticks.
Yeah.
Is the butterbeer actual beer?
The butterbeer isn't, but they have a Harry Potter beer there as well. That you can drink.
So they, yeah. I mean, why is there not a cantina? And then you could have like the band.
Then you could get your arm cut off.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah.
For that.
I would get my arm cut off.
Oh my god.
And they would just play those two the only two songs.
That'd be fine.
Taking any requests.
You know what?
Alright, here we go.
If they fucking did that and only played the two songs over and over again and opened a cantina and there was a chance that you could get your arm cut off, fucking packed.
I would do it.
Day in and day
yeah.
out, that place that would sell tickets.
It would.
Yeah.
It would.
I'm not an Imagineer, so that's never gonna happen.
Scott, do you have any insight as to what the behind-the-scenes Clone Wars thing is? There nothing that Ashley Eckstein's hosting? You know what that is?
I think she's done it for maybe like I know she did it last year, but I think it's kind of like an auditorium kind of Q&A thing where.
Oh, cool! So they have like voice talent. And...
I think so. I think she hosts like a program, kind of like maybe something similar to what you would have seen at Celebration.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, but from what I remember, there are actually some pretty humongous lines for that. So
really?
Yeah, you have to get there early in order to get into those things.
Awesome.
Yeah, but oh yeah, it with the opening of Star Tours, like, would be Star Wars weekends as well, so that's pretty exciting too.
Awesome.
I was very disappointed that I didn't make it to the closing of Star Wars.
It
Star
was
Tours.
Fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was on his birthday.
So I had to
go.
Yeah.
So let's get in the news. And if you don't mind, Ash, I'm going to take the first one. Because
I wish you would mind.
Read that on Twitter. It's a horrible. I mean, you know, we go from something happy, Dan had a baby, to something really horrible. The director, as well as I believe one other photographer, the director of Restrepo, was in Libya documenting it. There were three other photographers with him. All four injured, or all four shot in a major firefight. The director and another photographer actually died. The director died. On the spot, and the other photographer died in the hospital. The other two, from what I understand, are in critical condition. But this guy, honestly, I Twittered it right when it happened, or when I found out about it, that probably put one of the most gripping documentaries I've ever seen out, and it sucks to hear that he has passed in this pretty nasty conflict over in Libya.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and the reason I put it in there is because the review you wrote of Restrepo was really good. I think you and I just randomly watched it around the same time.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, you know. I have to teach about war all the time, and I don't really think of it as really something that real people engage in.
Yeah.
And then you watch a movie like that, and you realize that these are just, you know, young guys that are at this point younger than us.
Oh, yeah.
Going
yeah.
through some of the craziest shit in the world, and this guy risked his life to really show that. And then the article I read, not to like glorify at all, but his camera crew was there trying to document what was going on in Libya. They got hit with a fucking RPG.
Yeah.
Like,
that's insane.
It's
yeah.
horrible. Like,
They're not with, the difference here is that they're not with the U.S. Army this time, right? Because we're not actually.
They were there with not AP, but Reuters or something.
But I'm saying they're just following rebels, essentially. I don't think the organization, like I was talking to Melissa about it, and I have a feeling the organization he had in Afghanistan, where he's with a top-notch, you know, U.S. Army division that's breaking into an area and essentially setting up camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of following nomads with guns right now. I mean, that's essentially what's happening in Libya, is that there's a bunch of disenfranchised people being slaughtered by their leader, and he was just with them. There wasn't the kind of, like, tight-knit organization, this is how we do things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, he was working with rebels just to kind of show what was going on over there.
I really hope that the footage makes it. Him dying, obviously, but the footage, whatever he had, I hope gets back to stateside somehow.
There is something I'm going to put on the site tonight, and Andy Cool News posted it today, and he had posted a short film of his. I attached the link to our show notes.
Yeah.
And it's up on Vimeo, so that means we can host it because it's public. But it's the last thing he actually released, a short film of his. So we're going to go ahead and put that up later. But, yeah, hats off to everyone involved with Restrepo. It's probably my favorite documentary this past year, and it's always shitty. The guy was only about 40 years old.
Mm.
So it was pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, and if you haven't seen it, go watch Restrepo. It's phenomenal. And then also... if anything, maybe this will make some people will actually read about what's going on in Libya and Syria and all the other areas right now, because it is totally fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's not much other way to put the fact that you've got dictators pretty much slaughtering their own people right now to repress any kind of demonstration. So,
yeah.
Sad news, but hopefully, you know, something good can come of it. Maybe word can get out as to what's going on. So,
indeed.
We'll move on. Number two.
Number two.
I don't know anything about this. So.
Oh, well, this isn't, Game Informer did a piece on Mass Effect that we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago, right? Have you guys seen the Game Informer article yet? You're staying away from
this year, again, I'm going to try to stay away from Mass Effect.
Really?
There's no way.
Because, the thing is that nothing will dissuade me from purchasing this game.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see anything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. You have such willpower. Even with the last Mass Effect, I devoured everything I possibly could. Sci-Fi was running fucking, like, specials on Mass Effect.
Yeah, I did watch, like, something like Science of Mass Effect or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that. But, like, honestly, I made it all the way up until, like, a month before the release of Mass Effect 2. And then I started watching stuff. And that's, like, what pretty much, like, fueled my initial disappointment with the game of, like...
Okay.
How they kind of just put it all out there, like, in the trailers, and I would have just liked to have, like, found it out through, you know, during the course of the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, like, I guess, like, screenshots are okay, but, like, maybe, like, more, like, trailery kind of stuff. I don't want to try to dissect it, you know?
If these are in-game footage...
Jesus, that looks insane.
Good lord.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane.
That is gorgeous, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks really
that is
good.
Unbelievable. Not to try to entice you into looking at it, but...
It really doesn't.
If that is in-game footage, my mind is, like, poofing out of its skull right now. This is unbelievable looking.
The new stuff looks sick. And,
it was all right, Scott.
I mean, that was kind of the argument against 2 the whole time, was that it was the old engine and everybody could tell. Like, you could feel it while you're playing.
Really?
But, yeah, I mean, it just didn't look as sharp as I think people thought it could.
I thought that game was
If you put it next to other games that came out at the same exact time, essentially, it looks older than the rest of
it. So I was going to say that game went from, like, 720 to 1080, right? From 1
it
to
did,
2?
It did jump, but this, just, like,
but
actual...
Like, their hands were still, like, the weird polygon hands.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they have, like, the Joker mouth that, like, talks funny when they're talking. Like, that kind of stuff still happened. This look...
looks ridiculous.
Yeah, this looks ridiculous.
So, the other footage they released, they showed in-game Informer. They showed a picture of Ashley. If Ashley's alive in your game.
Yeah, I think Ashley's alive in everybody's game.
Yeah, did anyone here save Caden?
I don't think
somebody did that I know, and I can't
think
of who it is.
Derek,
well, he's played the game like 10 times. So
that's true. That's true, yeah. I only played through Mass Effect one time.
I looked on his profile. He 100% Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Which would pretty much require you to play the game at least to like the 75% mark, like 6 times.
Yeah.
Because there's achievements for like progress through the game with the Turian as your primary ally. So you would have to play the game that many times. And then
one
for like Renegade. Like if you did Paragon through all of them,
yeah,
you have to do one for Renegade. So that's at least 5 playthroughs.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Plus Insane or Hardcore, like 6-7 playthroughs. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
pretty ridiculous.
Anyways, sorry. That's
no, it's cool. I was just kind of expressing my excitement for the new screens, and I totally understand you not wanting to see them. I've done that with a few games in the past, but it's looking phenomenal. Everything about it just looks great, and I think it would be pretty hard for them to really fuck it up at this point.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you read the fourth comic yet?
No, I put it in the news just to say, like, that
series. Did you put it in the news? I didn't
even
see.
The fourth comic came out this week.
Oh, yeah.
Which would then end that series of, like, the story of the Elusive Man. But I was actually waiting for this last one to come, and I was just going to read them all. Like,
yeah, I'm not in love with the comic series. It wasn't bad. I feel like they could do a lot more about him in, like, a book. Obviously. I mean, that's probably the dumbest thing I've ever said. But
if they had more pages and more words,
they really could get a lot
more
out
about
him.
The character.
I just mean, like, I feel like... It was like, we're going to find out stuff about Elusive Man, and then it was this really short span of time in his life.
I think you get a little...
It's really brief.
Isn't the second book about the Elusive Man? You get a little insight. Well, it's not about him, but he's like the guy pulling the strings, right? In the background.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would assume that maybe this one and then the novel that just came out, like, recently, probably would involve him as well.
Can I borrow the first one from you?
Yes.
The first game.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you can.
Ah, yes. I mean, the first game...
I thought you were going to borrow Brotherhood.
Yeah, I should do that.
Age of gaming, it is hard. Like, Christina wants
it
to
is
play
old,
them.
It is old feeling. Yeah.
And, like, she is, like, maybe 10 hours into the first game. She's just like, I don't know if I can do this. And I'm like,
wow.
It's up to you.
Like, it did not age well.
No, first game did not age well.
No.
I mean, the cutscenes still look great, but then you can go on YouTube and watch them all in HD and just skip the bullshit.
Like, the story is phenomenal. I mean, there's no arguing story in Mass Effect. It's just the gameplay in that game was painful.
See, I mentally link...
I'm guessing Scott liked 1 better than 2.
I mentally linked Mass Effect 1 to, like, KOTOR. So when I, like... I put those
I hated
two,
KOTOR.
I don't put Mass Effect 1 and 2 together in my head. I put... Mass Effect 1 and KOTOR.
But,
though.
Like, KOTOR to me was another game that I could not play. Like,
oh, well,
the story looked great. I couldn't play the damn game.
I was just trying to figure out what KOTOR was.
I
know, I got it.
I mean, well, that makes sense.
That
though.
Sounds cool. Is that, like, Chrome?
Yeah.
Is that, like,
Chrome?
And I also, when I played Mass Effect, I also didn't have an Xbox at that time.
Yeah, you played on PC,
and you've
said many times that traveling in the Mako was much easier on the PC.
Totally awesome.
Really?
Yeah, because...
What game were you just playing that you got in a thing, and you're like, oh, this is like driving the Mako, and I watched you run up a hill, hit a thing, fall to the side, and then land on a rock and not be able to drive anymore.
I was playing Frontlines Field of War.
He's like... Oh, this drives like the Mako because it's like two button dependent. Like it can't if you turn, like everything turns.
The turret turns, and then the vehicle turns after it.
So he's like driving it, and I'm like, yeah. See, man, that was such a pain in the ass to drive on the Xbox. And then Scott's like, lands on a rock, and then can't move anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm stuck. And I'm like, perfect. This is how horrible it was.
The turret was totally separated from the control of the
vehicle. Well, they already said that. Not to spoil anything, this is not a spoiler about plot, but the mining is not going to be the same as the first game or the second game.
That's cool.
We're changing it again because people didn't like the second one either. I loved it.
I didn't mind it constantly. Especially after they patched it and then you could like do
fast
mining.
Yeah.
The first month that game was out, mining was like,
see, I didn't play it.
That little thing around the screen.
I didn't play it in the first month. But I went really slow, anyways, man.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like the movement of the cursor on the board.
Yeah, I went super slow, anyways.
No, but I'm just like half speed, like half.
I know. I probably went that slow, anyways.
Okay. I mean, it's awful.
That was my like. What was that game you Banjo Kazooie when you would like collect things endlessly
for no purpose?
That was me mining. I mined every single inch of every planet. Like I maxed out.
Yeah.
Literally everything I could max out in mining that game. It's still the only game that I think I'm like, with the exception of the insanity play, I think I'm like 80% done with that game. Because
yeah.
I did, Ash was the only, because I don't look at that shit. And Ash
yeah.
was like, you know, you're like 80% done with Mass Effect 2. And I was like,
more than that.
Really?
You're at like,
wow.
Almost, like, even with the DLC, you're like 1100 or something.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Kind of liked it.
Spectacular.
Kind of got into it.
Yeah. Other stuff. We have a couple weeks. The voice actress that does Liara, who's going to be a major player in 3, has given us an interview about Mass Effect 3.
Really?
Yeah. And
awesome.
We have, I'll put a link in there. We covered her doing art up on the site, I think back in January.
Mm-hmm.
But a Canadian artist goes by Axel99. She's doing an exclusive art piece for our interview.
Which is awesome.
Of Liara. So
awesome.
She's going to do it. For us.
I watched some of that.
For free.
When you posted that, I watched some of that.
Yeah,
she's
good.
A lot of
she's really good.
Really
yeah.
fast and really just like total nerd fan like us, but much more talented with a pencil. So,
yeah.
So that's cool. That's some cool fun stuff coming up in the Mass Effect universe. Which is fun.
Scott, did you read about this third one yet?
I did. I actually read
since
about it
since it's
today.
Your baby?
Yeah, there's like Gizmodo posted an article today about like what is most likely going to be in the next. Are you looking at it?
I'm reading it
right
now.
I love the image though. The Wii.
Oh yeah, like the Wii with two more eyes at the end, like the Wii U 2. Whether or not I don't know, like everyone's aware of, like the listeners, like know, but like more or less, Nintendo has. Pretty much initiated all of the major controller innovations since, like, the original system came out. And kind of, like, in the same vein, like, the next system is going to have, like, what they're thinking about doing is having, like, a dual-stick controller with a screen in the middle, like a touch screen. Like,
kind of the DS almost aspect of what you've got.
Yeah, I mean, but this is, like, not technically new because on the GameCube, you could hook up your Advance to play, like, Legend of Zelda Four Swords. And, like, just like with the Nintendo 3DS, there was a Virtual Boy before that. Just like with the Wii, there was a Power Glove before that. So Nintendo actually does work on these things, like, kind of introduces them in unique ways, and then puts it out in a major release and goes, like, here it is, here's the next controller.
It just seems ridiculous to read the statement, the new controller will include a touchscreen, two analog sticks, and
a
camera.
Right,
like,
so it's like, you might as well just bring your Nintendo 3DS and be like,
here's the thing.
It just needs a toilet and a flashlight,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you don't ever need
but
to get up.
Guys, it's Nintendo. It'll still require a stylus to use. It's classic Nintendo because it's like the only way this is going to be supported is through Nintendo games.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get this like $200 controller and this like $250 machine, and then you're gonna be like, the new Mario came out, and you're like, awesome. And then you'll finish that in a week, and then they'll be like, what are you playing next? And you're like, I don't know. I'm hoping Zelda comes out in 3 months.
It's gonna come with the controller's gonna have another controller on it. You're gonna need like a fucking third hand to operate.
The new Nintendo
Wii 2 controller comes with three more controllers,
I'm
each with their own touchscreen.
I'm not saying it's not innovative and that it probably won't be awesome in some form or fashion. You know, like when the Wii came out, everybody forgets because they make fun of it so much now.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
it was fucking amazing.
Everybody that played it was like, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, like swinging and playing tennis and all that kind of stuff was insane. But then again, we also watched that system toil in the fact that nobody did anything for it except Nintendo.
Yeah, but for me, that's all I really care about.
I know, but you are so much the exception to so many rules, it's not even funny. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just, like, that's, to me, is why I will never get a Nintendo system. I would otherwise, but yeah.
Game developers complained about the PS3 being difficult to program for. Now they have to program for another gaming screen on your controller.
Yeah. I mean,
it has a fucking camera on
the
it,
the thing
too.
Is, like, I could see that being ridiculous. Like, you could do so much with that. You know, it could be really awesome.
Yeah.
Because we used to love when we had the GameCube and the Advanced came out, and you could system link the two, and, like, I would play on the Advanced. Like, what was the game you
played
all the time?
We played some Zelda. We played some, Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Built in.
And I could,
I will fully disclose
that
this thing is probably going to be awesome. It's
just
really easy to make
fun
of that
crazy
sense that your fucking controller's going
to be screen
and a camera on
it. But that's what happened with the Wii, too. Like, before, I was working at EA when the Wii was announced, and, like, everybody's like, oh, what are you going to do? Swing your arm in front of the TV?
Yes, that's what everybody did.
Yeah, and then it came out, and it's like, oh, this is fun.
I can swing my arm in front of the TV.
Although, I guess what they're getting at also is that the controllers will still work. Like, your old controllers are still going to continue to work on the new ones.
The controller comes with another gaming console that plays a whole separate game in it that somebody else can
control.
But
my question is, like, is this new system actually going to be a legitimate next generation console, or is this going to be an HD version of the Wii with slightly better?
It really depends.
I mean,
on what the definition of next gen is, you know?
I mean, it'll be next gen. It's Nintendo, though, has said they're not trying to compete with Sony, and they don't want to be your media machine in the living room.
Right.
That's never been their goal. Like, they were like, we're putting the Wii out because we want to have a fun gaming experience for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, whoa, you're not going to have, you know, back then it was, you're not going to have HD DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah,
and they were like, no.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care.
And
where they
matter.
Faulted was that they didn't do any kind of HD. Like, that machine should have been capable of HD. It was ridiculous to avoid that entirely. But, you know, they continually say, like, we make gaming machines. We don't make multimedia centers.
What has constantly surprised me about the Wii, though, is that, like, I can put in, like, Super Mario Galaxy 2. And it runs in 480p, and it looks kind of good, you know, and I'm excited about it. And then the other day, I tried to play Resident Evil 4 for the Wii, and it ran in, like, a weird, like, letterboxed, like, there were black strips, like, all around the screen.
But that game was a PS2 game.
It was a PS2 game, but I just thought, like, why do games like that even exist on the Wii? Like, why
can they put Perfect Dark out, you know, re-resed in HD, or not Perfect, Perfect Dark, right?
For Xbox.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they can upscale those games and put them out and make them look nice, but they can't do anything.
I don't even
understand
why that was permissible.
Right,
That's
what I'm saying.
On the Wii to, like, have, like, oh, it's widescreen, black bars inside. It's like, really?
It's tinier.
Like, that's a standard on Xbox. It's like, you have to run the game in widescreen if they have a widescreen TV.
I think, like, the problem is Nintendo has just become so fucking illogical. Like, where they fucked up to me, was all of a sudden everyone's like, all right, compact disc, that's the way to go. You know, storing data, putting games on CD-ROM, that's going to be the future. And they're like, no, cartridge.
Yeah,
they still fucking stay in cartridge.
Stuck
and then,
with the cartridge.
And then they're like, all right, GameCube's coming out. They're like, no.
Mini CDs. That's where they went totally wrong.
Like, what the hell?
But here's the thing, though. Like,
and they spun backwards.
I was thinking, I was thinking about this the other day. Is it because I've been playing a lot of DS. I've been playing Scribblenauts on the DS, which is by far the hardest game I've ever played in my entire freaking life.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I got, well, after we talked last week about it, and I was like bummed out. I was like, I feel like I can't get anything new. I want to play like a strategy or something.
Yeah.
I went and got Disgaea on the DS, and I got Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
And I bought...
Is Scribblenauts the one where you can just draw anything?
No, you
don't draw. You just write a word in, and it shows up on the screen.
Yeah. Totally remember.
So, like, but I was putting my cartridge in, and I realized, I was thinking about it, I actually think I have a freaking physical example here, but, like, cartridge-style, like, memory is considerably cheaper and smaller than it was when they were like, we're sticking with the cartridge, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, now that stuff, you can get, like, 64 gigs on a thing for $30 in the retail store, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's that big.
Yep.
And, like, part of me feels like, maybe cartridge could make a comeback at this point. Like, Blu-rays are out. They're not getting any bigger.
Oh, is it like the price of flash?
Physical
memory,
media
like?
Is not getting any bigger, you know, and
yeah,
that stuff's getting cheaper and smaller as time goes on.
It's true. It is true.
I don't know.
No,
I mean,
physical media is just going to go out the window.
Well, it's going to go out the window.
Be like, there could be a minor resurgence in something like cartridge play, but, like, physical media is just going to be gone.
Yeah. Oh,
surely.
No, I totally agree.
Very
like,
soon.
I mean, there was just an article released by the head of Epic. Did you read that one?
What
was his name? Caps, I think. Joe Caps or something like that is the head of Epic Games. He released a rant about how, dollar games are, like, iPhone dollar games and everything are basically devaluing the market and, like, screwing up the market. And that part was interesting, but at the end, he talked about how, like, you know, he's arguing about this, but really, at the end of the day, or no, he argued that, and this is what was, sorry, he argued that, and then the Rovio, the head of Rovio, who makes Angry Birds, came back and basically said, he's just mad because physical discs are going the way of the dinosaur. Like,
yeah.
He's just mad because games like that are going to be gone. Like, games will still exist in that big mega form,
yeah.
But they're no longer going to be in GameStop in a case, blah, 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 that they're going away. Eventually,
yeah.
Everything is going to be downloaded to your hard drive, start playing. You know?
And you're
going to
own it somewhere and you jump on
GameStop
another computer
and
play it.
And Best Buy want to sell you DLC now, like
yeah.
in the store. They're going to start selling. Like,
no, I'm actively not buying a Blu-ray player. Like, I've been discussing it. A buddy of mine's trying to talk me into buying a Blu-ray player. It's like, it's so awesome. I don't want to. Because, like, I'd have to rebuy my collection, and then I guarantee you within...
I don't think we're that far off.
Within
it's,
3 or 4 years, it's going to be pointless.
Amazon,
enough stuff's going to be online.
Amazon,
it's
Apple...
pretty cool, though.
Amazon... Yeah, but you can get 1080p
I can
on.
Show other people what I watch when they come over.
But you can
get
1080p on Amazon. You can get it on Netflix. You can get it on
yeah,
Apple.
Yeah,
you can get it on...
It's pointless.
Everybody is going... Like, the big players that in the digital market already, Amazon and Apple and all them, are pushing for that.
The beautiful thing about, like, the non-physical media is, okay, when the next revolution comes out, whatever is the higher quality thing from 1080p, whatever the next level is, 12,000p,
yeah,
you don't need to buy a new piece of equipment.
People in your living room.
as opposed to maybe buy a new TV, but you don't necessarily have to buy a new player. When it's non-physical media.
Right.
It's not like you have to upgrade your computer when they come up with a better compression scheme for MP3s or whatever. Like, you know, like, you can buy all this stuff on Blu-ray, and then whatever that next jump is going to outdate Blu-ray. When it's all just downloadable media, I don't need to upgrade my player to play the latest and greatest thing.
Like, while I totally 100% agree with you guys, I'm going to play devil's advocate and tell you not everyone has an internet connection.
Well, they fucking should.
I know.
It's fucking 2011.
Not everyone has the capacity to download big files like that. And some people will always prefer to have some sort of physical media
right.
because they're collectors.
Some people
but,
can't afford cars.
Right. No,
saying.
No, I agree. I agree totally. But, like, I think that argument is the same as when I worked at Peaches and CDs were taking over.
Right.
And I had people coming in telling me that they were mad that CDs were taking over because they can't just throw them in the back of their car because they get scratched. And it's like, well, yeah, but there's a lot of other reasons. You know, like, that stuff... is going to slowly just kind of shift out to the point where, you know, I mean, like, I don't think that Blu-rays are going to be gone tomorrow. DVDs aren't going to be gone tomorrow. DVDs are going to stick around for probably another 5-10 years before they're really gone.
Yeah.
They probably will. You're talking to a guy with a tube TV, a 32-inch tube TV in his living room right now. Like, DVDs will be around for a little bit. Blu-rays will be around for a lot longer. And digital is just going to seep its way in to eventually where people are just doing that. You know?
Yeah, I think they'll coexist for quite a long time. Just because, peppered beef jerky. because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, especially younger consumers, that aren't going to have access to, like, Xbox Live to download these big games.
Well, I'm going to say fuck them until I lose my job, and then 2 months into losing my job, I say,
you're like,
why can't I buy this media on disc? Why is it all online?
It's a Blockbuster going out of business. I'm going to buy, like, 200 $1 discs.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Again, Ryan, I agree with you. All right, I'm just saying, there are dumb motherfuckers who don't have the fucking internet.
Wow, you're just going to insult them?
I know.
To use your language, actually.
I said fuck them. I didn't call them dumb.
Yes.
I just think, but there's also, you know, and we've talked about it, like, the internet's getting cheaper. There's companies like Google moving into the market that are going to destabilize it at some point. Yeah, I don't think any of this is happening tomorrow, but the fact that companies like Amazon are already doing it, companies like Netflix are thriving, like, that stuff to me means, and Netflix, by the way, thrives as a DVD company, but, like, tripled in size when they did their streaming. They went from, like, oh, we're in a lot of homes, and Blockbuster was like, we're fine, we'll just start the same service and we'll have name recognition, to Netflix being like, oh, we're on your Xbox, your Roku, your, you know, PS3, whatever you want it on, we're on it. Don't worry about it. You know, and it just took over immediately. So.
And to fucking contradict what I was just saying about fuck those guys, I still happily use Netflix's one DVD at a time thing.
Yeah,
too,
I mean, I do
stuff
too.
That's
yeah,
not,
I
that isn't on demand yet.
It'll be slow.
Do a DVD.
It'll be slow, but I see it happening already, which means that I think the transition from VHS to DVD and then DVD to digital. DVD to digital was so much faster. It's almost mind blowing.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
I still perceive.
Fuck.
All right,
keep talking.
I was gonna say I still perceive a better value in buying a disc than buying a digital copy. Like
I would see that value like as the accessibility spreads. Having that physical thing is nice. But if there was a guarantee that I bought the rights to this thing and whatever access that you provide me, whatever device you provide me access through, as long as I can seamlessly do that, I'm okay with not having a physical
thing.
Well,
here's an example. Like, I turned on my Xbox the other day and it's like, watch the new Harry Potter movie now. And I was like, cool. And I go to look at it and it goes, do you want to rent this movie? That's $5. And I'm like, well, man, $5 is a lot of money, like, for a rental. What if I wanted to buy this movie? And it's like, oh, well, if you want to buy this movie, it's like $15 to $20, and you only get it in SD. And it's like,
Ooh. It's
like, oh,
it's,
awesome.
Right. They still have, like, a big part of what they have to work out is, like, rights.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, some things will come out, up until recently, I think, I could be wrong, and it may be a different show, but up until recently, like, SNL would come out pretty quickly on Netflix, but it wouldn't come out right away in HD. It would only come out on SD. And then, like, a couple weeks later, it would come out in HD. So that's all this weird... There's a lot of stuff that's got to get figured out so people can get paid, so people can produce content.
Right.
And then distribute it online. I'm sure there's bickering over that.
Yeah.
But, when it comes to the day comes when it's like, I've bought a copy of Paul Blart 2, I can watch it on my phone when I turn it on, I can watch it on my Xbox.
I'm never going to want
to
watch it on my
phone. And then maybe the option to save a digital copy somewhere in case my internet's out and
see,
I want to watch Paul Blart 2.
Yeah.
Let's pause, though, because Scott just said something that I would argue. You say that you will never want to watch a movie on your phone, but there's two things I will say to that. One, you're having a horrible phone experience right now,
sure.
Admittedly.
Yeah.
And two, I would be willing to bet that if...
Paul Blart 2 came out.
No, if we were... You know, out traveling in a van,
road
you had
trip.
Nothing to
no,
fucking
yeah,
do.
That's...
You would happily
exactly.
pull your phone
if
up
I
and watch a movie.
Absolutely nothing to fucking
no,
do.
No road trip.
Watch
no, it's
oh, whatever. You're being.
I wouldn't. And it's probably beautiful if you live in a metropolitan city and you ride the subway to be able to watch something on your phone. But fucking, I went down to Miami recently.
Yeah.
Fucking turned out amazing.
Sure you did.
But on the way down, I threw on a couple episodes of Mad Men and I rewatched them because I couldn't really focus. But it was great, fucking distracting background. You know, it was like listening to an audiobook. Like,
right. I'm just saying that I think that experience is getting there too. Like, I think that the gut reaction is the same one I had when I was like, I'm never gonna look at the internet on my phone, and then it's like, I half the time default to my phone
and you
to look at the internet.
To the bathroom sometimes.
But like, for I mean,
well,
like,
no, I'm saying like years ago when it was like, you know, your phone.
I guess
week.
With like headphones, I mean, like part of the experience of watching a movie for me is the sound in the picture. So
right.
Unless I have a 19-inch. Cell phone with like surround sound.
That's why we all
cool,
need
but,
iPads and
I mean,
cell phones.
Yeah.
Your phone here and good headphones
yeah.
is no different than your TV
sure.
6 feet
it's
away.
It's a different thing. Like I said, like throwing three episodes of Mad Men on my Zune and listening to it while I drove down to Miami was
true.
Cool. That
yeah.
wasn't me sitting in the theater and seeing Avatar.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
clearly
or,
it's a different
I've
experience.
Actually I watched a couple of Marvel movies on an airplane on my Zune going to New York. I was like, oh, blah, 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 like watching a couple Marvel movies. And it was fun. It was like a good way to not watch whatever was on the DirecTV or whatnot.
Yeah,
you know?
I just
had
the best idea.
What's that? That?
Don't say it out loud.
No. Tell
we can
you.
Edit it
wait,
out.
Wait, quick, mail it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know how they have those beer
quite trash copyright.
We'll make like a headset harness that places your cell phone about 4 inches from your nose.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Big,
I believe it already exists.
You can just sit there and watch it, and
I believe
it's
it
right
exists.
There, and you have nice...
Wait,
I believe you're speaking
on
the cell phone.
I think Scott just admitted that his problem with watching movies on his phone is holding his phone like this.
Yeah.
Because when you were like, put
no,
it there,
right.
Scott was like, that solves my issue!
Alright, I'm going to have to sadly ask, are you joking?
No, I'm fucking dead serious.
That thing exists. You can buy a hat that looks like a fucking...
I'm finding it.
The hat with the flaps down over the ears.
Really?
It's like
it
one of those hats with
down.
A giant brim, and you mount your fucking device on the front of it, and it makes it pitch black around your eyes. I swear to Jeeva that... What is that?
That's
I
it.
Swear that I'm... It exists. The fucking...
Really?
It's a media player hat. Like, it's for
oh,
a PDA
man.
Or a cell phone. Are you mocking me?
Mm-hmm.
No,
you
I'm
didn't
serious.
Know about this
no,
thing.
No,
it exists.
No. Well,
it's
someone's a fucking genius.
The reason why I said that's awesome right away because my mind immediately went to us creating an infomercial for this product.
Oh.
And I was like, that would be a lot
that
of
would
fun.
Be truly
yeah.
amazing.
That'd be truly amazing.
Here you go.
Oh,
there it is. There it is. I told you.
What is it called?
Man.
Hold on.
It's got a brim. It's got a comically giant brim. It looks like an airport or an airplane hangar from really far away.
It's in the chat room.
And then it...
Man, I'm excited about this.
It's like we create all this innovation in technology, and then all we're doing is we just go back to the old viewfinder.
Really?
We can't figure out a way for you to enjoy your handheld movie experience. Just fucking strap it to your head. Just strap it to your head.
Camo hat.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. That's so fucking... Because I wouldn't want to be caught dead wearing this thing. So if you can not
I
see
want
that...
I want to fly with this on. So people think I'm like retarded spec ops.
And then like would fucking... Yeah, it could be like, you've got this thing on and the stewardess, the flight attendant comes... I'm watching my stories!
I guarantee you just deafened everyone on the podcast.
The four of us?
But for comedy. It worked. It worked.
So, yeah, that's what the new Wii is going to be like. So,
sorry, bring it on around.
No, that's okay.
I can mount my new Wii controller on the end of that hat and
yeah.
use it separate controllers.
Let's take a minute, let Ryan calm down. And we'll come right
Look,
back.
It went a really long time without saying anything.
We'll come right back with. With
reviews.
Some reviews of the only two games that apparently have come out in the past year.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Are we back?
Are we
online?
Sure. Yeah, I got to just restart it. So let's talk about what we're really here for. I'm a little bummed. I thought Derek was going to possibly be here to talk about the first one.
He's got a big job interview tomorrow.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Derek
Cincinnati.
Too. Oh, Jesus.
For you got
no,
me.
But the good news is it's,
does he get to fly out of Orlando? Or?
Yes.
Awesome.
So if he gets, he's moving back.
Sweet. So, you can handle this on your own, I'm sure. You have no shortage of things to talk about with this game, so...
I do, yeah.
You got yourself into...
I did. So the Gears of War 3 beta, multiplayer beta, is out. And admittedly, I didn't really play a whole lot of Gears of War 2 multiplayer. I played a lot of Horde mode. And I played with you guys.
Is that not
yeah.
the same thing? Is there like a deathmatch that you're talking about?
Well, that's the whole thing. There, in Gears of War 3, there is a lot of different modes, multiplayer modes. There is going to be Horde mode again.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be...
did they create Horde mode? Was that their
they
thing?
They did. They're the first to have that whole...
Just endless waves.
Survival,
yeah.
endless waves.
That's cool.
And that's probably one of my favorite multiplayer
sure.
things. So I love that they did it. But the multiplayer beta for Gears 3 is actually a team deathmatch kind of mode. And it borrows really, really heavily from Battlefield in that there's more or less a ticketing system. So each team starts out with a certain number of tickets, and you die over and over again, and then your tickets tick down, and eventually you run out of respawns. And then finally it's just, three or four guys left on a team versus a whole other team, and you only have one life. And
oh,
just try and stay
man.
Alive. So it's pretty intense. But I wasn't, when I played Gears of War 2 online, I wasn't a huge fan because I felt like when I tried it, which was initially when Gears 2 came out, the net code was all fucked up. It was a little laggy. Things didn't feel right. I just kept like, it was one of those games that. It had such a really rabid fan base that you'd get in and try multiplayer and people would just kill you.
Like Halo Online, right?
Yeah, instantly. Yeah. It was like you'd get in and just die instantly. So I was just like, it just wasn't for me. Played a shitload of Horde mode, and so I was really interested to see how this Gears 3 multiplayer would work. So in order to get in, you either had to get really, really lucky and win a beta code, or if you pre-ordered the game, you can start on Monday. Or if you got Bulletstorm, you got in early, a week earlier. So
I thought you had to buy, like, three things, or was that something else?
That was something else. All you had to do is buy the Bulletstorm Epic Edition, which is the standard retail edition of Bulletstorm.
The standard edition is the Epic Edition.
That's what they're doing. EA does the same thing.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, all you have to do is buy a retail, non-used copy, and you get it.
And they call it...
The Epic Edition.
Like, when Dragon Age came out on release day, they called it, like, the Legendary Edition or something like that.
So is there a cheaper regular edition?
No. It's just, they do it to get you to buy it new, A, and then B, on day one.
The Epic Edition.
And then when they run out of copies of that, the game will ultimately be the same Dragon Age 2 without the extra stuff.
Bulletstorm 2.
For $60, and then that becomes the game that devalues over time.
Bulletstorm 2, this word is popular on the internet edition.
I don't think that's the word. I mean, they're Epic.
Epic jumped the fucking shark because the MLB is using Epic in their fucking advertisements right now.
Really?
I was doing laundry the other day. I saw a commercial for the new baseball season, and it said, like, something, MLB, always epic.
Oh,
and I was like, no, it's never been. I've watched a lot of it, and never have I watched a baseball game and said, that's epic.
So, Gears 3.
I'm sorry. Fucking really epic, epic edition.
In the beta, is it only the team deathmatch that you can play?
Yeah, okay, so the beta test is right now, it's three maps. So you get three maps, you get access to all the guns, you get access to about eight of the different player models. I don't know if you guys care about that, but I love all the different player models. So all the guns, all different player models, three maps, and only right now, each week of the beta test, they're doing a different play mode. So this week is multiplayer team deathmatch. So it's 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively small maps. Everything goes.
Is it
going to
be the same thing next week too?
Next week is, I think, going to be capture and hold, which is sort of like a capture the flag type deal.
Okay.
And then it's going to alternate week to week, and maybe by the end it'll be all of the modes kind of together. Now there's the thing that's kind of cool about it is, I think all of us like the fact, you know, progression in games, levels, and unlocks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gears 2 had none. There were levels, but they didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything, right? It was
nothing
just like...
at all.
Just more like, I haven't played this long.
Literally just a number. And
yeah.
It really meant nothing. Sort of like gamer score.
Yeah.
It just means that you've been
playing... Don't tell Scott.
But I love
score.
It.
No, I like it too. I hit 30K the other day and, like, did a little dance around the house.
Thank you.
So now, Gears of War 3 has a ton of unlocks, and the unlocks are cosmetic unlocks. There aren't any, like, unlock the ultimate sniper rifle.
Yeah,
nothing
that's
like
okay
that.
Too, though, you know?
Yeah, but it's like you unlock player models. So, for instance, if you play, like, 60 rounds of the beta test, you get to unlock Coltrane in his Thrashball uniform.
That's awesome.
And then that carries over into the
retail version. The flaming weapons they're just cosmetic.
Purely cosmetic.
That's cool.
There's one that you can get that, like, you unlock, like, chrome versions and gold versions and flaming versions. And you can set those up when you set your player up.
That's cool.
And again, it's just more stuff to unlock. You get titles. If you do, like, really crazy, like, you get, like, 10 headshots, you can, like, put sniper next to your name.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
That's what they used to do. I saw that for the first time in Star Wars Galaxies. Like, when you leveled up your character, you got additional titles to put over your
character. Was that what the game was? I remember doing it.
Yeah, because,
remember.
Like, you would be, like, engineer.
I was, like, epic dancer.
Yeah. You could be, like, engineer,
yeah.
And then it would be, like, droid engineer, and then master engineer.
Well, other stuff that's been really, really cool is each weapon has its own execution now.
Like a melee?
Yeah, like a melee. So, for instance, like, the new weapon is the Retro Lancer. And the Retro Lancer, we talked about it before on the podcast, but it's the old version of the Lancer that has a giant bayonet on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do a bayonet charge, like, across the map, and an instant, like, one-hit kill somebody. But also, like, the execution with this is you basically, like, you know, slash them to death with the melee weapon.
That's awesome.
That's cool. And
does it work?
It works well, yeah.
Oh,
okay. The guns are all really balanced. The gameplay is really fast, really fun. Really promotes teamwork. You can do spotting like you can in Battlefield, so you can do target spotting now.
That's cool. I think every game needs that.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't had, even though it's just the beta test, it's probably going to change up a little bit, but I haven't had too many negative experiences with other players doing stuff like kill stealing and stuff like that. Everyone actually legitimately seems to be working together in this, so.
Well, like, I think the part of the masses will flood in.
Yeah.
So it's going to change.
Yeah, it's probably going to change a little bit. But right now, it's, you know, leveling's relatively fast. A lot of stuff to unlock.
Does your XP carry over into the...
They're not releasing that yet.
Okay.
Now, I mean, Gears 2 gameplay-wise was pretty damn solid. Is there anything that they, like... Are there tweaks or changes at all?
Everything looks a lot better. Everything is a lot more fluid. All the animations, I think, have been improved. The guns, you're going to, like... If you've played and, like, you know what, like, a Lancer fires like, it's still going to fire the same. And if you, like, the same with the shotgun, the national
right.
shotgun. All the weapons feel pretty much the same. But everything is just a lot tighter. Like,
okay.
They've really had a lot of time to perfect, like, how
everything moves. For all my gripes with Gears, like, or, you know, they're not even gripes, they're just, like, whatever
mm-hmm.
with it. Like, the gameplay-wise was never in question,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like,
yeah.
That was always one of, the, I think, the best things about the game. And the cover system is phenomenal.
I hated everything was the same color.
Yeah,
I
we complained about that was one.
Shape.
That was definitely one. Was just like everything was gray and
yes.
like sepia.
They're fixing that in this one, though, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're gonna add more color to Gears 3.
Yeah, they're definitely.
And even two was
like,
still.
I'm sure it's confusing if you're really in battle and you're not really sure who to shoot, but this
yeah.
is a video game.
Yeah,
sure.
yeah.
Well, make the fucking bad guys glow purple.
They did something to really set yourself apart from your enemies. So even across the battlefield, you'll see they. I hate in games when you're playing a game, and all of a sudden you'll see like, you know, map history over someone's head.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate when I see map
yeah,
history.
Yeah, or anyone's gamer tag. Okay, they don't do that. In order to actually see someone's gamer tag, you have to hold down the trigger.
Hmm.
Then everyone's gamer tag pops up. Otherwise,
yeah.
it's just the player models and a tiny little dot of what color team they're.
Like red or blue?
Yeah, right above their head. That's probably like 5 pixels high. 5 pixels.
Oh, that's
big.
Awesome.
So you can see it from across the map and be like, okay, that person's on that team, that person's on that team. So it's easier to spot enemies and things like that. But it's a ton of fun. And like, I'm not really big into like team deathmatch multiplayer,
yeah.
but it's fun enough and action packed enough to like really make you want to play over and over again.
Cool. I think team deathmatch is always better. It's always been better than just
regular
deathmatch.
Yeah,
deathmatch has always been like. I get in, I die 47 times, and I'm just like, why am I hate this.
And then,
this.
Like, the next thing, I guess, and hopefully that will be next week, is, like, team deathmatch with objectives.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, cool.
Not just, like, you hang back and, like, shoot the other guy, you know, like, because that's, you can cam and stuff like that, but, like, when you actually have to do something, like, hold a checkpoint or something.
Is,
you
know, is single player, this is the wrong, single player is not the right term, is the campaign 4-player co-op?
It is. Yeah, all the way through.
Spectacular.
Sweet.
Four-player
co-op. That'd be amazing.
Because like Gears 2 is definitely improved by playing co-op with Scott.
We're playing
and then,
together. We love it. We're not like
and Gears, I'm not a Gears
yes.
fan.
We're
yeah.
just playing for fun and we're actually
mm-hmm.
having fun.
And then Halo Reach, like you liked because it was 4-player co-op.
Absolutely.
You know, like
co-op
I think co-op makes everything.
Yeah.
You kind of need at this point, like online play has become so flooded with assholes that any kind
yeah.
of teaming. You need
like
to
sheltering
have,
with your friends. You know,
you need to bring friends on because like I fucking love playing Halo online.
Yeah.
Team matches, like team objective matches, I
mm-hmm.
fucking love it. But to do any kind of team objective shit, you need to be in communication with the people on your team. And everybody's such an asshole online that everybody just mutes.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about playing Battlefield 2 on PC online with people I don't know? Because that game lets you divide, like, teams, like, the commander assigns squad leaders, and then the squad leaders form platoons. And then they just get on the comm and yell at you the whole time. They're like,
go
over here, go up the stairs, we're taking this checkpoint, what the fuck are you doing?
And when you're this guy on a laggy laptop,
yeah.
and you're trying to play, and people are just screaming at you, you eventually just stop playing. I'm like, well, I hate this game, so I'll never
yeah.
touch it again.
Yeah.
People are fucking horrible enough when you're playing.
I gave him
if
Battlefield
they think,
2.
If they think they're in charge of you, I can only imagine how much worse
literally,
it gets.
Literally, that's how much I hated it. I didn't let him borrow Battlefield 2. I gave him battle. I was like, here, I'm never opening this game again.
How much was your heterosexuality challenged by your supposed leaders
it's,
in
it's
that
pretty
game?
Much, it's pretty much like what the Stanford prison experiment was.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you tell those people that they're squad leaders.
You're in charge of somebody.
Yeah, and they become squad leaders.
Just douchebags.
So anyways, anything else for...
No, it's a lot of fun. I hope
how many hours have you played at this point?
You gotta play 60, right, to get to the coal?
It doesn't go by hours, it goes by matches. So you have 60 matches. I probably played about 10 hours.
10 hours. I mean, for a beta, that's still...
Yeah, I think I'm level 11 or 12.
Is it, are they kind of like promising not to reset anything during the beta? Like, they'll push updates, but they're not going to reset
your levels. They haven't revealed that they're going to let you keep your level. I'm assuming they're not. They're just going to let you keep your unlocks.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you're not going to get, like, to your 59th play and be like, oh, I'll just do the 60th one tomorrow. I'm worn out. Turn it on. And they're like, you're at zero. And you're like, what the fuck?
It's one of those things that there's some games with unlocks that you're just like, oh, okay, I got to pound out these levels. I'm actually enjoying playing it so much that I'm not even paying attention to the shit that I'm unlocking.
That's
like,
cool.
I'm not going for any achievements.
Well, it's
I'm
good that
playing.
There's no advantages that are unlocked by playing more. I've never understood that. It's like, oh, we're just going to make the better players better and the worse players worse.
Right.
Like, there you go. Like,
yeah.
This is somewhat tangentially... Did I say that right? Tangent?
Yeah.
Just roll with it.
Somewhat to what you're saying about doing unlocks and stuff, like, the one game I've been playing, as you guys know, that are friends with me on Xbox Live, has been Tiger Woods 11. And I noticed they made the game ridiculously harder from 08, which was the last one that I played,
well,
to level
long.
Up.
That's a
lot of years, yeah.
But reason being, because, like, in 08, you could dive in, you could get a sponsorship, you could buy the best club, you could buy the best shoes immediately and be in this fucking amazing play. And then, with the new one, I believe... what it's got to be is the online play that makes you, if you could level up immediately and play online and be a badass online immediately, that would suck for everybody that just got the game.
Yeah.
So they had to have spaced that out for the online play. And something that I've been thinking about that I don't know the answer to because I'm not a game developer is I wonder how you balance, like, my roommate and I play Tiger constantly, and both of us are, like, at a moderate level of advancement in the game. And I wonder how you balance, like, playing the game locally and being able to level up a ton. This is kind of where I was going related to what you said. Like, being able to level up and have fucking fun with the game, and I've been playing this game. Like, I've been playing Tiger 11 for probably, like, 6 months now, and I can just barely start buying some good stuff in the store.
Is this only for
Not
online?
6 months, maybe, like, four
is
months.
Is this only for online?
No, it's the same shared XP for online. You get experience points with 11.
So even in single...
So your character shares the same attributes online and local.
And there's no microtransactions,
which is why they had to have made... You can buy experience points with real money and level up your character, but they made those levels up. It's so drastically different from... Clearly, it was 4 years ago when I played 08, but I remember in 08 or 09, whenever I played, like, you'd play one round on the PGA Tour, and this is, like, you can kind of extrapolate this to any online/local game experience, where I wonder how you balance that. Like, letting somebody who doesn't play online just have some fun with the game, blast through it, become a badass in the game.
Well, hopefully you could do that with matchmaking, but...
But with something like Tiger where it's so upgrade heavy, where you can upgrade every aspect, like, I wonder how you balance, like, being able to upgrade all of your shit if you want to and play locally and be awesome, like, reward this guy. You've been playing it for 2 months locally, be a badass, but then do you have, like, a separate online character? Do you remove the attributes you bought locally
before
you play online? Like, I wonder what that...
They could try to normalize characters.
Not that I'm a big Call of Duty guy by any means, but that's kind of what I always disliked about Call of Duty was that I would play through single player, feel like, oh, this game was so much fun, I did this, I'm going to try, you know, online multiplayer out, and, like, I get on and I'm like the cretin of the freaking level. I can't do anything.
You got, like, a BB
gun. I have like a knife and a, like, a 22 millimeter pistol, and I'm like, how am I going to get through this?
They kind of get it right with Red Dead Redemption, which I didn't play a lot of the online.
Well, except for all the other broken shit about the online.
Right. But, like, as far as I remember, I only went online, like, once or twice with Red Dead. But it's a completely separate character, is it not? Isn't it, like...
Yeah, no, you're not John.
I guess
it's not a million John...
I guess that's the right way to go, because trying to combine the local and online experience can be crippling.
Well, but that's what I'm saying about Call of Duty. That's what Call of Duty is. You get online and you're not...
Yeah.
You are not your character that you played through single player.
I guess,
but what annoys
me
about that is that I feel like they're belittling my single player experience when I get online.
Right, but then it's like...
By not letting me...
That? Like,
yeah,
the extreme is, you know, like I said, with Tiger 11 is where it's... it's Kim Possible to get your fucking player to be a badass.
Well, that's when
in
you just
global.
Like you just jump online. You're like, I'm gonna play with Tiger, or I guess whoever's good now. But
right,
you know, that's who you get online and play with. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I think Brink is changing up to something like whereas you play through the campaign, you level in the campaign, and you carry the level and all items over into multiplayer modes.
Oddly enough, that's what Tron did as
yeah.
well. That yeah, because
yeah.
that's what we remember. We went online. And I played a little bit. I got XP, and the unlocks were for both.
Don't ever see that movie.
I guess unless you logged in, Brink sent up more stuff.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I'll forward it to you.
Well, yeah, I actually wrote that article. I hand wrote it.
Did you?
When I was administering.
Well, we have.
So that's what teachers are doing.
Yeah,
we have a literal ass ton of
good, yeah,
promotional material.
I'll get that out tomorrow.
And Hunted, but I didn't think any of us cared about.
Is Hunted the like the one that was on Xbox? Oh no, it's Hunter.
Well, Hunted.
Is it based on the old TV show?
No, it's
Fred Dreyer.
No, it's we played it at PAX. It's okay.
I'll have to check it out.
It seemed pretty early on when we played it, but now that I'm reading all the promotional stuff, it seems like it wasn't that early. That this was pretty close to release.
I'm sorry to detract everybody, but it just seemed like you're talking about the online thing, and I wonder how they deal with that as developers.
Yeah,
like, how do you balance keeping it fun for the guy that can't get online?
It's a really good question. I think they are trying it, but I think it's still like a really old fashioned mindset that the campaign is the campaign, and the multiplayer component is the multiplayer component. And a lot of times, they're actually developed by two different completely branches.
So,
that's
Scott,
exactly what's up?
What have you been playing?
Portal 2. Yeah. It's
horrible.
Totally awesome.
Did little birdies just fly out of my ears when he said Portal 2?
So, the biggest question I had, and I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyways, is
that... Ask for the audience.
I played Portal 1 relatively recently, and I got it for $10 on Xbox Live, and it was awesome. $10 awesome.
Yeah.
It so far exceeded my $10 expectation that I was like, this game is mind-blowing.
What are you shaking your head for?
Because he already knows what the question is.
I know.
So now it's a $50 game.
Yeah. Well, the original...
What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's like EA's like, "Hey, this game needs to be $60."
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
we can make a whole shit ton of money off this thing.
Gladly paid $50 for the original.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, the thing is that the original Portal you can bang out in like 4 hours.
Yeah, it's short.
Yeah.
Dude.
I still thought it was amazing.
And a lot of people did. A lot of people do, and maybe that's why they can charge $60 for it. But
we already know it's a longer game.
The single player campaign is substantially longer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you already beaten it?
Oh, yeah. I beat it the first day. I played all day.
How many hours did you actually play to beat it?
I think it took me like 6 or 7 hours to beat the single player.
Okay.
But, like, I feel like, I don't know how to say this in like a conceited way, but I feel like I'm good at Portal.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my mind is like sort of in tune with the way the puzzles are designed or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I only got stuck, like, as in like standing in a room with nothing to do, like maybe twice.
Right.
Where I was just looking around and I was like, I really don't understand like
what they're trying to get
you
to do.
What the idea is.
Yeah.
So like I really just like sat down and just like took a couple of breaks and played it from like I think I did in like 6 or 7 hours like actually sitting down playing. And
nice.
We can also say I mean we're gonna get to co-op, so I played co-op with you, but the first thing I think came out of my mouth was graphically, this thing is like, if this is the engine they're building Half-Life 3 in, I'm totally happy about it.
And I'm sure, like, we are playing...
Is it a new engine?
We were playing on
it's
Xbox.
It's gotta be, dude. It looks so
that's
much
awesome.
Better than
that's
Portal
like,
1.
Not
yeah.
only that, but we were playing on 360. I bet it looks...
Phenomenal.
Twice on PC.
They came out and said, did Valve not say... Didn't they have a public dispute with PS3? Like, shitting on the PS3, like, 3 years ago?
Years and years ago. And now
and then they came out and said, Portal 2, the best version is the PS3.
And now they're buddies with... Yeah, they're buddies on PS3 because now you can... log into Steam with your PlayStation 3
account. Yeah.
And if you bought Portal 2 for
that's fucked up.
If you bought Portal 2 for PlayStation 3, you'll get to play it on Steam as well.
Yeah,
that's
it's
fucked up.
It's the first cloud game, right? That'll sync
bullshit.
Across the two
yeah,
platforms.
And you can I think you can play with people on PC.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Speaking of Steam, did you see Fable 3, first Microsoft game to be released in Steam?
Really?
Which is Microsoft admitting that Steam
They're like,
is,
we're done with Windows Live.
They're not done with it.
No,
I mean, it came out
for Windows.
It came out on both, obviously, but
right.
This is the first Microsoft game where they're like, all right, Steam, here you go.
I didn't know that.
You mean Microsoft tried to compete against an established
well, Microsoft was
player
there
in the
first,
game.
I think. But anyways, regardless.
The short version of it is like, if you liked Portal 1, like, you'll love Portal 2.
Or the good.
And I wrote about it today, but the thing that kind of got me about the game is that, like, I was actually, like, sometimes I play games, and I do like playing games, but sometimes I'm just, like, playing, you know? And, like, when I was playing Portal 2, I was, like, I smiled, like, I had a good time, like, the robot told a joke, and I laughed, you know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome, yeah.
Like, there was, like, you know, in the game, you know, the robot is, like, malicious and trying to murder you, and you're just like, ha, ha, ha,
it's so
much fun.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, you should jump into this pit full of spikes. And I'm like, sure. You know? And they're like, wow, I didn't think you'd actually do that. You know, like, you do weird things and the game rewards you. Like, there's dialogue in the game for doing weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
And, you know, the environments look good. I don't want to talk about the story too much just because, like.
Although, you know, I mean, really, story is not the central idea of Portal. There is a story. It's entertaining if you're into the story.
There's more of a story in this game than there
is. Right,
was.
But I feel like you could play Portal and not give two craps about the story and still have fun.
It exists within the Half-Life universe, right?
Sort of.
I mean, it's
loosely.
Yeah.
Were they like a competing science firm with Black Mesa?
I think so.
Or whatever.
Yeah, like it's
it's very, there's hints to Half-Life 2 in Portal 1, but it's not.
God, when is Half-Life 3 coming out? That this game makes me want is like,
there was,
put out Half-Life 3 already.
Say,
well, are they working on
episode 3,
or is that going to be 3?
I'll say one thing. There is an achievement in the single-player campaign, which is sort of like a nod or a reference that I didn't get because I don't know a lot about the canon, but there's a reference
to... You played
to,
them all, didn't you?
Yeah, but
I played them all, and I don't
the
know what
story
the story
is. but there is sort of like a kind of reference to Half-Life in the game.
Really?
And so, like, that got everyone really excited because everyone thought that, like, oh, maybe when I play Portal 2 at the end, they'll say something about Half-Life, and, like, I don't remember seeing that, but...
They'll be like, the free man!
I think, yeah,
Well, there was, in Portal 1, one of the levels you walked by, one of the rooms had a presentation from Black Mesa that they'd stolen. Going on one of the projectors
or
something like, or how do we compete with Black
Mesa? So I mean, like, Valve is clearly fully aware of,
well,
you know, like, people wanting these games to come out. They know they're not saying anything about it, you know, but
yeah,
they're just one of those. They are that Blizzard level company that can just do whatever the fuck they want,
mm-hmm.
and people will just wait.
There are a lot of people that were really angry with them because they kind of ran this contest. Like, if you downloaded and played all these mini-games from Steam...
it sped up the release
of
Portal.
It sped up the release of Portal, but it only ended up speeding up the release by, like, a couple hours.
It's awful because people
downloaded, like, thousands of indie games.
But didn't they donate that money? I thought all that money got donated.
The potato sack?
From what I understand, like, the potato sack went to their pocket, which is what really pissed a lot of people off.
That's awesome!
So they're like, everyone, like, download these games, and, like, you know, I was just reading Twitter, and I was like, we're playing potato sack, we're downloading this, and, like, we're gonna get Portal, it'll come out early.
Well,
it's
actually,
like, fucking capitalism.
Hold on. Two things, though. One was that it was 10 games, right? Or 12 games, something like that. It was a lot of games. I looked at it a couple times. But they were, like, heavily discounted. I think it was $35 for the whole, like, all 12 or 14 games.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was downloading it. I thought it was playing it on Steam. I thought you had to play the games on Steam to get it to
go
faster. Which, I mean, obviously requires you to buy them and download
that's what
them.
I think it was.
But
I think a lot of people went and purchased them just and played them. It's beautiful.
It was too many
beautiful
games.
Marketing.
It needed to be like four or five games and just
whatever.
It that way,
take your favorite band. If they were like, oh, if we get this many purchases of our old albums, we'll fucking release our new album 5 minutes earlier.
There's only one band alive that can do that right
when you
now.
Put it that way, it sounds like
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. Which was never alive in the first place.
So what else?
I didn't pick a new band.
Oh my god. Like, this is one of those games where, sort of like the same way that, like, Double Fine makes their games, where it's like the gameplay elements are justified through the story.
Yeah.
Like, and the environments, like, everything works together. It's not like, why does this character have a sword? There's no reasoning for it. You know, like, everything that happens in the game, like, has a purpose.
Right.
You know, and it's stuff like that that really makes me enjoy this game. And this was, like, the first game that I ever went back to play the achievements for, not to earn the achievements, just because I wanted to do
you
something else in
mm-hmm.
the game.
It's cool. So we played co-op.
Yeah, and then Matt and I played co-op last night.
I would relate this co-op, and this is going to sound weird, I would relate this co-op to the latest co-op in Splinter Cell.
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, very good.
In the sense that, well, yes, A, that it's awesome, that it's fun as hell, and B, that it is a totally different... You are two robots.
Yeah, it's
going
separate
through
campaign.
Separate campaign,
characters.
Like, different levels. It definitely extends the game into the $50 worth it range,
yeah.
is what I was going to say.
It's truly cult. Like, it's not like the two of you playing Halo at the same time.
No,
killing
this
guys.
Is like
it's cooperative.
We would sit next to each other and go like, well, I guess if you shoot up there,
that's fucking awesome.
And then I do so you each have two portals.
Yeah, everyone has two.
No, I know, that's so
yeah.
awesome.
Independent of each other, so they don't work together at all. So, like, you have to, like, figure out these ways. There were times where Scott would lay down, like, a portal that I'm going to fall through, and then, like, I would have to go lay down an extra
that's
one,
awesome.
Two, like, up here and here, and then he would start that, I would start falling, then he'd walk over, shoot me out of a wall, that I'd have to have already pre-aimed mine, where I would hit mine and go through them and, like, land in another. It was... crazy chaining of portals to make things work. And then there'd be times where we would hit a room and then we'd go, so how do I get you here? Because, like, one of us made it and the other one's still sitting back
yeah,
in the other place.
Yeah, we get one person to the exit
awesome.
And it's like, then the puzzle starts over again because it's like, I'm stuck at the beginning, he's at the end, it's like, well, now how do we
that's
meet
awesome.
The second player?
Yeah, that's what I loved about the first
and,
one was they figured out how to make an amazing puzzle game out of the FPS genre.
And
yeah.
a lot
they did it. It's
yeah,
fucking
it's
great.
It's the same, yeah.
And a lot of times, Scott and I found, and we said it a couple times to each other, Scott and I found that we were making things more difficult
yeah.
than they needed to be because we were, like, over-portaling. We were like, okay, now to get you back up here, I probably have to do this, and then you rebuild that bridge, and then we'll go over here,
yeah.
and then we'll come through. And then at the end of the day, it was like, oh, I could have put one there and there, and you'd be here with
yeah,
me right now.
Like,
it was, like, super easy.
Game,
sometimes
yeah.
the room with the exit had a white panel, like, right inside the hallway, and they're just like, oh, there you go.
Like, come on
in. Across.
Not
yeah.
a big deal. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a lot of fun. But I think, like, my question in the beginning, I guess, was obviously kind of leading, just because that was, to me, I was like, oh, wow. So if the single-player campaign's, you know, 10 to 15 hours worth of playing between all the achievements and everything else you can do, and then this co-op is attached to it, the co-op was phenomenal. It was so much fun to play.
And they do, like, the levels are designed for two players.
Right, right.
And then they added, on top of the normal, like, portal system, they added, like, a communication system. So, like, there's, like, emotes for no reason, but they're funny because it's
yeah,
portal.
Yeah, you can, like, dance and play paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah.
And
then they added a spotting system. So,
that's awesome.
Like, if I'm standing, like, especially, think about
awesome.
It online.
Yeah, exactly. Because
if I'm like, I need you to put a portal there.
Yep.
You just point at it and click the,
I saw
somebody overused it.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Then you click the bumper and it points at
points
the thing.
Where
and you shoot
I saw them demoing that in, like, an early preview portal.
Yeah.
That's fucking ingenious.
It was fun.
That's
and totally still the same, like, meta humor throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, in the beginning, like, the robot is, like, making fun of me. She's like, oh, everybody was good except for one of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then it'd be like, you get to a point and it'll be like, you guys are doing so great. Blue, you're making blah, blah, blah. Orange, we'll just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Why is she making fun of me?
Yeah, so not only like in the, you know, in single player portal, like the robot antagonizes you. And then in co-op portal, like they kind of pit you, they try to pit you against your friends.
That's awesome.
Even though you have to work together. You know,
and then
like,
they like make jokes about how like, they're like, hey, the humans, like, we made the humans do this, but they, of course, can only try once. You can die over and over again.
in the first one, the writing was so good.
It's awesome. Yeah.
The writing in the first one, there's that scene where you're, like, after you escape getting lowered into the fire, not to dwell on the first one, but the robot, the GLaDOS, is like, remember that time I was trying to kill you?
Yeah.
And you were like, no way. Like, I almost pissed my pants.
Yeah.
Like, it was, the writing was genuinely fucking amazing. Like, I got the first one in the orange box, and I played Portal. I, like, burned through the Half-Life
yeah.
episodes, whatever. I played them once. Portal has such good replay value.
It's the way that the computer, like, delivers the lines
yeah,
in
yeah.
tune, you know?
The writing is beautiful.
Like, there was a line in the game where it's like, I just got back your performance review for that last level.
Yeah.
It says you're a horrible person. They're like, we weren't even testing for that.
That's great.
It's just the classic, like,
There was one time, like, I died, and it was like, hey, Orange, Blue can't wait all day for you. And I was like, oh, come on!
That's awesome.
It's kind of like that extra attention that Valve gives. Like, only a couple studios do, like, that level of detail attention to, like, everything.
I think that what Valve really excels at is his character. And
character is
such a big part of games, and everything really that I can remember that Valve has ever done. Even Team Fortress 2, if you just, like, look at the Heavy and the Scout, they are living characters.
Yeah.
Even they don't even say but three or four lines, you know, it's like those commercials they put out, the old trailers.
Those were fantastic. They're great.
I mean, they just make you love their games because there's so much. It's almost like, you know, they're the Pixar of the gaming world.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
I think so.
Yeah.
But that's a fantastic compliment because I think that, like, whereas I could go watch Toy Story, which is the first Pixar movie ever put out, and it still looks great, you know, and plays great. I played Half-Life 1 very late. I played it
two years ago. I played
all of them in a string because I bought it all on Steam and just played it on my computer. And one, like, gameplay was totally fine. The story was fantastic. Like, you know, it looked like a game from 1996, but it was.
Just a comment on what sells one is the fucking art direction and the scenic, like, the engine looks dated. But the
scenery
the
and the way, yeah, the things
that
play, that Valve definitely just nails it every time.
They get you to squirm, too. You know what I mean? Like, in Half-Life 1, when the reactor starts blowing up, you actually start, like...
Yeah.
And stuff like that happens in Portal, too, where you're like, oh, man, I really need to move. You don't really need to do anything. You feel compelled to, do stuff.
Oh,
I think it's just the fact that they can evoke that kind of response. Like, that's, like...
And they gave us Steam.
Yeah.
Which is a phenomenal... PC, I think they literally saved PC gaming.
Well, you know what the other thing is about that? Is that I don't think we've ever said anything, like, overly negative about Steam. As big as they are, like, you would think at this point we'd be like...
If Microsoft was in charge of Steam at this point,
we'd be like,
why can't I play my fucking game?
We'd be like, Steam is great, but...
It's like,
Steam is great, but I can save my games in the cloud, and...
I don't think
they're updated automatically. Oh, and my accounts transfer everywhere, and it's like
I think
they try and say something.
I think
negative
the only
about...
negative thing you could say about Steam, and it's really part. I mean, but I get stuff so cheap through them. It's hard to argue this point. Is that everything is DRM'd and everything is?
Yeah.
If Steam were to go away tomorrow, every game you own on Steam
is gone with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like. That bothers me a little bit. If I spend $50 on a game on Steam, that should be my fucking game. Like,
sure.
I don't care if I can't go resell
it.
That's fine.
That's a lot of trust into Steam.
Yeah,
that's
like
kind of what we were talking about with the movie and the TV thing.
Right,
like,
right.
You
like,
lose.
Right, but I'm saying like it's like I bought it.
Right.
I should own it. You know, like I mean, it's different.
Give me a logo copy or something.
Yeah, like it's different when it's like. Because I do download it locally, it's not like I'm playing it. It's not on live. I'm not playing it in the cloud. But
you need to like log in.
Yeah,
that's the only thing
that I would be like.
A lot of trust
that's a little shady. But
kind of like it always that reminds me of like if you ever read the agreements for like a game like Madden. Like you buy Madden Day One, the online agreement says something to the effect of like after 30 days, if we don't want to support online anymore, we'll just turn it off.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, you get Halo, and then a month later, like they're just like we're done.
Yeah.
Like, We can't support online anymore. It's over. You know. Like, so, anyways, that's Portal 2,
and it's fun.
But I think Valve is like one of those companies like Google, where we just kind of we assume they have good intentions, and we kind of trust.
Well,
them with, like,
I mean,
the Steam experience.
I think at this point, Valve's not going away.
Right.
Like
right.
they would have to just be literal douchebags to turn Steam off.
Yeah,
like it wouldn't be because they're losing
it
money.
It would literally be because they would want.
They're just
be
like,
an asshole.
Yeah, we're fucking done with
so
this. And just like,
over and, says, yeah,
and that's the same
switch.
Thing with Google. It's like
right.
like which leads perfectly into the open thread.
King
Ryan.
Of segues, bro. King of segues.
The thing I was going to talk about today is that I moved to Verizon,
mm-hmm.
very happily. So I have a gigantic phone. It is. It's the biggest thing I think I've ever. It's humongous.
Holy shit! Is it good for watching movies?
It's damn well better be. It's a gigantic screen. But it. I moved.
Oh
the phone is phenomenal. It's a Droid X. First of all, I got this thing for a penny. So
that's awesome.
You know, And Melissa got the Samsung Fascinate, which I actually am in love with. I think it's a, it's in the other room.
It's an awesome phone.
Although they just got sued by iPhone, by Apple, because they basically ripped it off.
Oh,
and when you look at it, you're like, yeah, this looks like an iPhone.
This looks like an iPad.
But anyways, so here I can show it on the camera. Like, I don't have a reference. Here's my fucking Zoom next to it.
I would have to hold that thing away from my eyes to watch a fucking movie.
So anyways, what I was going to talk about is that I went 100% Google Voice. And when I say that, everybody goes, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Mm.
So I thought I'd talk about it just real briefly, and we can kind of talk about the idea behind it for our open thread for a minute. And the fact is, basically, I ported my T-Mobile number, which is the number I've had since I was probably 22, to Google's phone service called Google Voice. And what that does is essentially now I have like an online hub that my number connects to. And then I got Verizon, and this phone number is actually like a 321 number. It's not my T-Mobile number.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do with this phone is I say, okay, everything that comes in through 407, blah, 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 forward it to this phone. And then on this phone, there's a Google Voice app that I turn on. And then I say, all of my phone services and all of my text messaging, I want to go through Google
Voice. The thing
Voice.
I still don't get is the text messaging. That still, like, boggles me. I get the voicemail part.
So, okay.
I get the call forwarding. But tell me how text messaging works.
Well,
messaging is basically email. That seems like the easiest
yeah,
part.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much going through data service, I'm
the,
pretty
I mean,
sure.
Is, oh, it sends it as...
I can't... Okay, so...
Do you get it in your text messaging interface? Like, whatever is on that machine?
It's taken over text messaging. So, like,
do you have, like a
those
Google
are my text messages.
Is
it's
that,
in the Google Voice app.
Oh, it's in Google Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to messaging, you go to Google Voice for text messages.
Right.
That was my question.
I figured out you had Google Voice because I called
free.
You the other day and I got this Google Voice.
Yeah,
I haven't
set up the voicemail.
Voicemail hasn't been set
yeah,
up.
And they're free. Text messaging is now free for me. I don't pay for
right.
anything. So the process is kind of ridiculous. You go to Google Voice, you set up your regular Google Voice account under your Gmail. And I'm just going to say call it Voice because Google Voice sounds weird
yeah.
to me. You set up your Voice account under Gmail and it gives you some number and then you say, I want to port my phone number. And it goes, cool. And then it takes you to another screen and it says, we just want to let you know that you are porting your phone number to Google Voice. And you're like, yes. And then it goes, just to be clear, we are about to cancel your service for whatever phone this is currently on. And bring this phone number over to Google Voice.
Like, did
and,
you mention that once you, as soon as
and then
you
go,
it cancels your...
And then you go, yes. And it goes, all right, we're just being totally clear here. If your contract is not over, we are about to cancel your service, and you will owe them whatever fees you might owe them. And I go, yes. And then it goes, you do realize Google Voice is not a phone service. This is just a, like... online phone connector, essentially. You still need a separate cell phone carrier service. And I'm like, yes. And it's like, are you sure you're ready to do this? Because if you're not ready to do this, don't do it. And I'm like, I'm ready. And it's like, this costs $20. You're good with it, right? And I'm like, yes. And then it's like, okay, clicking one more yes is going to make us do what you're trying to do right now. And I'm like, yes. And then it's like, okay, cool, go ahead.
It's bad to know how many yeses you had to click, because I just had to roll this all back for my dad.
It's... 12.
My dad signed up for
oh,
all of this. You had to roll it all back out.
It is something like 12 yeses you have to click before you get through the porting service. They tell you over and over again. So essentially what happens is if you do have a service with somebody, like I had T-Mobile, they cancel, just like porting it to another cell phone carrier, they cancel your service, port the number in, it becomes your Google Voice number, and then that does all of your routing for you. So when you guys call my number, it actually goes to Google Voice first and then forwards to my phone, this phone, or anywhere I wanted to set it up to,
yeah.
But right now it forwards to this phone. And then when I call out, it actually says on the phone, which is pretty cool, it says connecting through Google Voice and then shows me what number I'm connecting through. I actually call Google Voice, it connects to my number and then forwards to you guys.
Jeez.
So that's why it always looks like it's still the same phone number. It's all going through Google Voice.
How long before I hear Google ads instead of
I don't
ringing?
Know.
How does the call placement work again?
Me placing a call?
Yeah.
it calls to Google Voice's routing number.
So it still looks like
that number sees the number that it's coming from, routes it to the number that's in my Google Voice, and then sends it to you.
Especially you had to do on your phone to set that up?
No.
Like, Internet characters or something?
Yeah, like, so all along the way, as you're clicking through stuff, Google like calls the phones you're doing it for and has you enter like a 2-digit number. So it'll say like, when you say like, I'm going to port this number out, it calls your old phone first. So you have to have all your phones with you. It'll call your old phone first and you enter like 6-1 and then it's like, okay, what number do you want to add? And then I said this one, it's like, hold on a second. I'm calling it, press 0-1 and it comes through and you just press 0-1 and then it just goes right through and everything moves through. I have noticed literally zero issues, which is weird because I thought I was going to have problems, and it is pretty much the most transparent thing I've ever done on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm having any weird service issues. I don't feel like I'm having any problems.
No.
The amazing stuff about it is free text messaging. The only drag to that is it's not multimedia yet, so you can't send pictures through it yet.
That's why I didn't get all those pictures in sending
room. I don't want to look at your penis anyways. But I mean, to me, it's like I do that very rarely, and honestly, I could just share it over Twitter now or email or one of the 100 other places that I could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I so rarely just want to send a picture to one person.
It's probably just
that,
as easy to attach a picture to an email in Gmail. Like,
that's literally what I just did to Melissa the other day because you saw it. My dog tried to hide behind a chair like a dumbass.
Yeah.
And I took a picture, literally just her head behind a chair, as if I did not exist 3 feet away from her. So I took a picture and sent it to Melissa. I just emailed it to her, because she gets email on her phone just like she would a picture message on her phone. So it's kind of crazy and a little weird. The biggest negative, I think, to it is that you are essentially saying, hey, Google, now you can know everything about me, not just the stuff I was giving you before. Before, you only knew my emails and where I was all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I posted on the web and what I was searching for. Now you know who I'm calling, what I'm texting them, what my voicemails are, because that all goes through Google's translation service.
And I'm sure you were going to bring it up, but the Google translates your voicemail. So
right.
And you get an email of the voicemail transcription.
Well, this is all
which couldn't be, is typically hilarious.
So the fun thing about the Google phones, about having Android, is that the voice app essentially lets me turn off all of those notifications, so I don't get emails or texts. It just all comes straight into the phone. But Melissa and I have learned that the Google Voice transcription,
it's beautiful.
It's kind of a fun game to play with
yes.
each other and see
yeah,
what actually
what
comes in.
Saying.
Yeah, so like, let me see if I can find one. If it reads really weird, you can usually see when it's like, we don't know. The best ones are Melissa's mom, P.S., which are like almost illiterate. It's like, hey, baby, math go to bank. Look at thing phone. See you late. Bye. And you're like, what did that just say?
Which is literally the voicemail I left earlier.
It is craziness. But yeah, I don't know. Did you? I think I've explained this to you guys so often now that you're probably sick of it. But it's weird. It is a weird feeling to know that everything's going through Google.
That is totally weird.
It's
cool.
Awesome. I would do it for the visual voicemail because I'm fucking waiting for that on the Windows.
It's pretty awesome.
I had
quote unquote visual voicemail through T-Mobile, but it wasn't transcribed or anything. Obviously,
I would take it in any level now.
But the transcribing is awesome because I look at it and then I'm like, oh, I don't even need to listen to this, or sometimes I have to listen to it anyways. But it's really seamless. You know, I also like it because if I didn't have my phone on me, but I'm on my computer or near my laptop or something, I have access to my voicemail, I have access to my text messaging, I have access to all of that stuff. I can make calls out of my computer from the same number that my phone calls.
Does Google Voice now have a separate tab for text, or do they just show up in the stream with your voice?
They're still in the same stream.
Oh, okay,
it's just like a big conversation, essentially.
I see. So it's almost like a text message is just a transcripted voicemail
without it treats everything as like the same kind of.
Cool.
I had one other open thread that I feel like you guys might get more involved in, but I'll say it, and we'll hold for editing, and I'll say it, and if you guys want to talk about it now, we can, and if not, we don't have
to. Where are we at?
Well, we paused a couple times. We're at like an hour and a half, probably.
Jesus. Oh, really? That seems like it's been longer.
It seems like it, but we didn't start till almost 8 something.
Oh, okay.
We can hold it, but I'm just going to say it so we hear it.
Okay.
We all hear it. I was thinking the other day about gaming last year, and we were talking about characters and things like that, and Valve's a really good thing. I now, having time, having gotten away from some of the game, all of the number one game titles and everything that came out, I think that I just forgot his name. John
Lithgow.
No, from Red Dead.
Marston.
I was gonna say Ralston. I don't know what that is. Yeah. John Marston, I think, is possibly one of the best characters ever written in video games.
I would agree.
That was easily the first game to get me to pay attention to a story in a video game.
Seriously, right? Like,
yeah. His motivation was really, you could really get behind it, because everybody here has a family.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of puts themselves in his shoes, even though we may not have kids yet. You know, like, you want to rescue his fucking family.
I think it's a hard sell to, like, create a character that you actually become, like, emotionally, like, involved with. And you believe, like, what they're talking about.
I just, like, for all the gripes I have with the ending and, like, some of the gameplay in the middle, that... You haven't beaten that yet? Are you
I got Assassin's Creed 2, man.
Good lord.
You gotta stop playing Tiger, bro.
I've been I know. It's one obsession at a time.
Anyways.
I was thinking about it the other day, and I was just, like, thinking back on that, and it was one of those moments where I was like, I don't think I've ever enjoyed a character and storyline as much as I enjoyed Red Dead. I mean, I love Mass Effect, and Mass Effect's probably, like, game-wise, just, like, overall, was easily my favorite game setting and story of all time. But playing as John Marston versus playing as... my brain is fried, apparently,
tonight.
It's
hard to get attached to your own character in Mass Effect because...
Because it could be anything.
It's anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
they do give Shepard a personality, but the personality is more like based on the voice actor's skill.
Well, but
like,
it's based on, I think it's just based on how you play it. So it's
even,
like, it's kind of you.
When someone writes an article about Mass Effect and they go, Shepard, and then they go, he did that. And I'm like, my Shepard's a girl. Or like other people are like, my Shepard's black, you know, like.
Right.
I see that a lot.
And it's the same. I think I compare that more to like the Fallout setting where I'm just like, I'm a guy. Shepard has a lot more personality, I think, than those. But, like, I'm just a guy running. I'm me. I'm whoever I want it to be running through that game.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Dead really set up that just like, I mean, like, Mass Effect blew me away when I would hit certain story points. I'd be like, wow, like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on, you know? Whereas Red Dead blew me away just, like, jaw-dropping, like, emotional moments in the game.
I think,
like,
the way you set that up is, like, a lot of those conversations that John Marston has with the woman that runs a ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you're riding the horse out like the thing, and they're just talking about like nothing.
That was the first game that I wasn't mashing all of the buttons to figure out how to skip the cinematic.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Even Halo, as much of a fucking Halo fanatic as I am, like, I'm mashing. I don't give a shit.
Like, yeah.
I couldn't tell. I played through all of those games endlessly, and I couldn't tell you what the story in Halo is.
Scott and I were just saying that. Yeah,
like, Red Dead was the first thing that I think they started getting the balance of what I've seen them wanting for years, as to balance cinematics with a game and make like an interactive movie. And Red Dead was the first thing that I played that I thought was really felt like an interactive movie.
It both excites me and makes me a little worried about L.A. Noire. Because I feel
I
like...
I think it's going to be fucking amazing.
I feel like the game is going to be awesome, but I'm looking at the game and I feel like
it's
going to be more Grand Theft than it's going to be Red Dead.
I think it's the other way around.
I think
it's going to be more Red Dead.
I think it's going to be more Heavy Rain than...
Sure, but I mean, like, did you walk away from Heavy Rain thinking like, man, that character was real... I don't even know who the main character is in Heavy Rain.
Well, I mean, there's like four main characters.
Right, there's the...
I didn't hear Heavy Rain without thinking of Bowfinger.
It's head, like, I don't know, like, maybe, like, as far as characters go, like, it's not, like, it is, like, an interactive fiction, but you get more attached to the tone than you do, like, to maybe a character.
Right.
Like, that game is so dark, and you're just like... Oh, and like you're just dragging yourself through the game. You're like, it's so sad. And you're like, but I gotta get to the end of this.
I guess like the promotion for Red Dead was like, look at the setting, look at this guy. You're playing this like it's totally like
it's
spaghetti western.
I think that sold a lot of the character though too was the aesthetic of Red Dead, like the look and feel.
But what I'm saying, the promotion for L.A. Noire has been look at the faces and. The gameplay of this game, the gameplay, it's all been gameplay.
I haven't heard anything about the gameplay, I just keep seeing
the
faces.
Are you kidding?
It's all, you gotta interrogate.
It's all about interrogating people and figuring out, reading their emotions and stuff. That's been like all they talk about.
One of the mechanics in the game is you interview people, and you're supposed to pick up on facial cues to tell whether they're telling the truth or not.
That's
and then also they also involve like investigating a scene for clues.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker
That's
for that time period for a movie like The Rocketeer or LA Confidential. I'm a sucker.
The Rocketeer.
For...
Yeah.
No, it's the same time period.
Like,
I know.
I'm a sucker
just like...
for that time period. So when it's done right,
it's
I'm in.
Sure.
So I'm already
like,
in with LA Noir.
Like Dick Tracy, you're into that?
No, because that was just a shitty movie.
Okay.
If when it's done right, so if they do LA Noir right, like I'm
really
in.
Expect this to be like Heavy Rain, like Indigo Prophecy.
I can see Heavy Rain. Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
It does have a cover and shooting mechanic though.
Yeah.
Oh well, then I'm totally.
I kind of
that.
Mentioned.
So.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's more. I mean, would you disagree or agree? I feel like it's more Grand Theft than Red Dead.
I haven't been studying up on LA Noir very much because I know I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm not psyched about it. I'm, for some reason, like, I...
Really?
You
like Grand
it.
Theft, though. You were a big
yeah.
GTA.
Yeah,
I've
played all...
Yeah, they said, like, there's a extra content exclusive to PS3.
And then it's just 360, too, though. The,
I think everybody's getting everything's getting its own extra content.
Yeah,
like even
Walmart,
where you buy it,
there's a GameStop. There's a
yeah.
It's like it's freaking ridiculous. So for you, who's like a completionist, you're not gonna be able to get it all unless you buy 6 copies of the game.
I see. This
I did buy 2 copies of Mass Effect too.
You bought how many of Dragon Age?
Oh, I Dragon Age is like I just kind of like that game. Like
I thought
Effect.
You bought like 3 copies of Dragon Age. Oh, was it 4 Mass Effect stuff?
Yeah, I bought Dragon Age 1 just for the Mass Effect,
armor.
I see LA Noir kind of going to what I kind of talked about when I first started playing Red Dead, I think weeks ago, whenever the first time I was on was, months, where it was like Red Dead, the gameplay wasn't difficult. There was no missions in Red Dead that I had to do more than a couple of times. Nothing was really that tricky. It was
sure.
Like you could very laid back, slow things down, pick the guys you want to shoot. It wasn't like something like Portal, where there was like some kind of gameplay dexterity involved in passing. Certain missions had a sense of that a little bit, but it was a bit. All in all, what I got through in Red Dead was a very easy game that made it very.
How far did you get?
I'm in Mexico.
Okay,
but
I mean,
like,
I don't know if
it's
ever
nothing,
super
nothing's
hard.
Nothing's really that tricky. It's more of a minimal interaction, interactive movie was kind of what I looked
mm-hmm.
at it as, which I see LA Noir going that direction. And
I
also see LA Noir going in the direction of, like, old LucasArts games, where it's like, talk to the right guy and
that's
say
awesome.
The right thing. Fucking Grim Fandango is one of my favorite games of all time. Full Throttle, The Dig. I've been waiting for games like that to come back out again, and it looks like LA Noir might be that, where it's not necessarily duck and shoot the guy as he's driving by, but say the right question to the guy you're interviewing. And if we can get, like... Those games just fell off the face of the earth.
Right.
Like, it was whatever the last one was. Maybe The Dig was the last one. Whatever that last Lucas... No, Grim Fandango. And then
no,
they re-released Monkey Island.
You will love, if you're like into that kind of stuff, Telltale is doing all of that shit.
I fucking pre-ordered the Back to the Future games, and I just haven't downloaded them
yeah,
and played
Back
them yet.
The
and they're doing the same
out.
Thing with Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
They actually...
Walking
yeah.
Dead.
They put out, on PlayStation Plus, they actually put out the entire... Sam and Max Telltale series for free.
Never played those.
So they're just sitting on my console. I'll have to check them out soon.
Good stuff. No, I agree with you, Matt. I think that Marston was a great character, and that's why I think...
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about.
I think a lot of people a lot of people had the same sort of reaction you did toward the end of the game because he was such a great character.
Well, I mean,
right.
Like, you remember watching the... we watched the Video Game Awards with...
Yeah, yeah.
And they played the clips in the background.
Yeah.
While Jose Gonzalez played. All the clips were him talking and just like...
They had Jose Gonzalez playing over footage from Red Dead.
Yeah.
It was badass.
It was heavy, man.
It was
well, you saw when you walked into Mexico, right? You remember that's the song.
When you first rode into Mexico?
When you first ride into Mexico, it's
Jose
Gonzalez.
Song? Oh!
That's the moment I was like, that,
I
should have
had my checkered scarf
still,
and jerk off.
I said it after I played it, and still to this day... The most emotional moment I've ever had in a game.
I didn't even notice that at all.
I walked into Mexico at night while it was raining and Jose Gonzalez was playing. I was like,
no,
like the whole
time. I got
into
Mexico on the raft.
Yeah.
You
but
thing.
You get off, you get on your horse, and Jose Gonzalez kicks in.
That.
Yeah. It's the first song. And it's a fantastic song, too.
Well, now I gotta go back.
And they apparently gave him cinematics from the game and said, write a song for us, and he wrote.
Is this it? No, this is a different
song. That's not it.
My bad.
Oh, I didn't notice that at all. I'm
only
2 missions into Mexico, so I should have probably noticed
you
that.
Just missed it then, yeah. It's phenomenal.
Better
and Mexico's going to get a lot
game
more
over. That's what I heard. That's, yeah.
You know there's 70 to go to Mexico, including the escort this refugee to the raft mission.
Even,
God.
Even, like, it's still worst mission in games.
Assassin's Creed 2, I love because of the gameplay. Could kind of tell you what the story was about, but I thought the fucking game was a fucking joy to play. But Red Dead is probably the only game in history that I've given a shit about the story. About.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. So
I think they're getting better and better. You know,
it's just going to be when can we eliminate the need for pre-recorded stuff to happen? When can we like simulate voices and make any situation we can dream up imaginable to play
right.
out?
Mm-hmm.
When you know you're not limited by how many hours of voice they record,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
situations they think.
When they can program voices
into,
in that just
which will
script out to whatever you want it to be.
Not happen anytime soon, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. I thought Skynet took over today? Didn't they fire nukes today?
I don't know.
Something like that.
420.
So, all right, guys. Well, that was episode 22, Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
Excellent.
So, wait, was that what we were just going to cut out, or because you said
no,
it
we'll leave it in.
Yeah.
No, I said if we didn't want to talk about it, we could just cut it out.
Deal.
But we talked about it, so.
So if we all said "fuck you," no, John Marsden is the worst character.
No, if we said that's a great topic, we'll talk about it next week. Then I would have said, "Okay, we'll talk about it next week." Or no, I don't really want to talk about that. Then we just wouldn't talk.
I'm not into the inside baseball of the pod gaming game.
Pod gaming game.
Just.
Well, it's the end of this pod game. So, thanks anybody who wasn't in the chat room, and Scott's going to put this up tomorrow right here.
Yeah.
He's editing all 7 episodes that are behind right now and putting them all up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, peace out.
Later.
I got to get to this thing over here and then hit a button so that it plays some music.
Oh.